Third and final hour here, Robbie and Rex Show, Monday edition. PK, Paul Kuharsky in for Robbie today and tomorrow. Paul Kuharsky in for Robbie today and tomorrow. It's PK's 55th birthday, and as we do every Monday at this time, Corey Curtis from News 2 here to join us. Corey, thanks for being with us, and I'm just going to go right to this.
Oh, boy.
Is Dan Campbell a big lunkhead or no?
Well, I mean, look, he got his team to the NFC Championship game, so he's not a lunkhead, but he ignored some common sense in the football game. And I don't care, you know, how you got there and what you do. You get a chance to go up three possessions, you go up three possessions. It's that simple. I mean, it's that simple. I do not understand. You weren't on the 1 foot line, you know. And I know Josh Reynolds has got to catch the football, believe me. But if I told you before the game you're going to put your game in the hands of Josh Reynolds, or you're just going to take a three possession lead, what are you going to do? You're going to take the three possession lead.
Yes, that's one, and then you have a chance to tie, and you also go again in a play that has no chance. And also, I mean, honestly, as I said earlier, Corey, my biggest issue, and no one's talking about it, but you have all three timeouts, you're inside the five, you have third down, and you run the football and kill off a timeout. And if everything else is the same, you get the ball with 40 seconds left, down three.
Provided you stop them.
Sure, that's what I'm saying. Everything else is the same. So you throw for a touchdown, all the things. You got a really good chance to send this to overtime, and you blow it by running. That is coaching malpractice. It's not getting nearly enough attention today. So I think the answer is yes.
I mean, look, yes. I mean, he obviously, like I said, threw common sense and some logic out the window. And you can say, well, that's what we did all season. During the season, you've got 17 games. So if that bites you in a game, you're still getting to the playoffs. In the playoffs, it's one and done. I mean, you know, you are 30 minutes from the Super Bowl. 30 minutes. You've got to play the numbers to give yourself the best chance to get there. Like I said, if you're on the 1 yard line, I get it. I really do. If you're up 17 points and it's only going to put you up 20, I get it. But you're talking about a possession, and possessions are huge, especially in the second half when they're so limited.
Another guy who didn't play the numbers and has gotten off the hook because of Dan Campbell, Todd Monken, abandoned the run, six runs by running backs, got 3.8 yards a carry, three early down runs for 17 yards versus the number 28 rush defense. Baltimore with some really strange choices in what turned out to be a one-touchdown loss to Kansas City. And Lamar Jackson stuck at two playoff wins.
It really didn't it remind you of 2019, Paul? I mean, when the Titans went up there and they put him behind, and once they put him behind, you know, and they made him throw the football, and they just weren't the same team, and he wasn't the same player. He didn't seem as willing to run the football himself, number one, which he's excellent at, and number two, like you said, they abandoned the run way too soon. I mean, they gave up 17 points. It wasn't that many. And, you know, you had plenty of time to continue to run the football and stay in the game. I mean, they've been, for as long as I can remember now with Jim Harbaugh, one of the elite run teams in the National Football League. And just because you're behind does not mean you have to give that up at all, especially with your defense, because you think your defense is going to keep you in the game, which they did. And so, yeah, you got away from who you are and what you did. And every year that we go into the playoffs, we say the same thing about Lamar Jackson. You know, great player, MVP caliber player. But every year in the playoffs, he seems to have a clunker somewhere along the way. And you know, yesterday wasn't enough, not entirely on him, for sure, because they could have done some other things. But he also didn't elevate that team to get him across the finish line.
You feel like I do this spreads inside out? I'm seeing 2.5 for San Francisco. I particularly, San Francisco's front did a terrible job and then the Chase Young wasn't chasing anybody. It seems to me, I mean, Mahomes is just he's Brady right now.
Yeah. Well, I will say first time thing I need to say is I was wrong, because all season long I said the Chiefs didn't have enough weapons to get there.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought they had no chance. I thought with the guys they had on the outside, I was like, there's no way this team is getting. I would have bet the house that that team was not getting to the Super Bowl with what they have. But they got to the postseason, and they turned it on. And if you want to call a coach in this day and age a genius, it's Andy Reid. Because no matter who his quarterback is, he has one and one big. I mean, Donovan McNabb, Kevin Cobb, Alex Smith. You know, obviously Patrick Mahomes has taken it to another level, but that guy's won big with whoever he's had, and now he's back to another Super Bowl without Tyreek Hill, which is really amazing when you see how important Tyreek Hill is in Miami. So that is amazing, and that's why I look at the spread, and my first reaction is, yeah, I like San Francisco. But knowing how good that Chiefs defense has been, because it is easily the best one that they've had since Andy Reid was there, and Mahomes is the X factor, because even when they don't put up a ton of points to win the game, he doesn't make the mistakes to lose the game, and that's a really big thing.
Talking to Corey Curtis, News 2. Corey, last thing for you. The Titans, since we last talked to you, the Titans have done some things. They've done a few things. So just your overall takeaway from the last week's events, Brian Callahan, new Titans head coach, Rand Carthon, official final say, and so on.
Yeah, well, first I'll start with this. You know, Paul, you and I have been here for all five new head coaches being introduced, and I thought, and you can tell me I'm wrong, easily the most prepared for that press conference to nail every question that was asked of him, whether he actually said anything or not, but just prepared to field them all. I thought he was absolutely 100% prepared for that day. And so I think the grooming of him has been excellent. I think, you know, it's a clear signaling to head into the modern NFL, which I think is probably a breath of fresh air for a lot of this fan base. And I think, you know, what's like the one thing that we've said over and over and over again over the last year, we don't know who's in charge. We don't know who's, you know, who signed this guy, whose decision is this, whose responsibility is this. We never had clear-cut answers. Why is Vrabel answering the questions about Kevin Byard being traded instead of the general manager? Well, now we have answers. Now we have a clear, laid-out power structure. And I think it's healthy for us. It's healthy for fans. And I think it's healthy for the team, you know, that guys have clear jobs. I always feel like no matter what your organization is, when you hire people and you let them do their jobs, your organization is going to be better. And I think they're much better structured to do that. Now we'll see if the guys they've hired to do their jobs can pull those jobs off.
Now we'll say, why is Brian Callahan answering all these questions about Rand Carthon's personnel decisions?
No. Hopefully we will not. Hopefully Rand will be out there to say why he's doing things. And I would think he felt pretty neutered by that situation. And so now he should be pretty empowered in that situation to stand up and say, I did this and this is why.
Hope so.
Corey Curtis, yeah. News 2. Thank you, sir. And pour one out for the Detroit Lions' relevance in the NFL as the Bears reassess.
I felt for him. I mean, like I said, as a lifelong Cubs fan, I felt for him. And it was nice to be a part of Old Timers Day on the show today.
That's right.
You're not as old as 55.
I'm 53.
Yeah. Wow. So we're all in the same thing, but I take the cake.
We're rocking 150
donuts,
plus combined. That's
donuts
fantastic.
In this case.
Thank you, Corey.
It's amazing that we all made it to the end of the show without dying.
I actually need a nap now. I may take a nap next segment. But if I don't take a nap, thank you, Corey. We will talk. We're going to do a little more Lamar Jackson and what this all means with that AFC title game. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106.3 the game. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. I mean, I've heard this a million times.
How do you
a
not
million
know this?
Times.
You're such good. A Vols homer that you don't know this song.
Dun, dun, dun. By the way, as many people in the text line,
motivational.
Driven by WilsonKennedy.com, have said, it is Dynamite is the name of the song. Tyler, by the way, says, not only can I tell you the name of Vanderbilt's fight song, Dynamite, I can tell you that Rocky Top isn't Tennessee's. But don't tell any of those orange-clad idiots that, they wouldn't understand. Tyler, very, that's Tyler.
Those are
upset.
Fighting words right there.
Boom, roasted.
I have heard, you know, I understand that fight. They technically have another fight song, but Rocky Top is their song. I will also say that the Tennessee fans, well, first of all, they started singing Rocky Top very loudly during a timeout in the second half when it was clear they were winning. And then Vanderbilt put on music to try to drown them out. And then walking through the concourse to get down to the postgame interviews, I mean, the whole concourse was just Rocky Top over and over and over
again. All those Vandy fans got up on their walkers and waved their canes at the UT fans saying, you want to fight, Sonny? You want to fight? You come in here and play your music?
Says the guy who turned 55 today.
There's a difference between 55 and 75. I mean, honestly, what do we think the average age of a Vandy fan who goes to games is?
35.
Come on.
There's families who go. There are graduates,
alums. What's the age of the person taking the family?
Well, everyone has a patriarch or matriarch who takes them? Is that? I don't know.
I think it's fair to say that Vandy fans tend to be more silver-haired than most SEC fan bases. Wow, you're putting a lot of thought into that.
This one's tough. I mean, maybe at the games, I guess.
Yes, at the games.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. They don't draw big. Look around and see the percentage of people with gray hair next time you're there.
Yeah. So, in other words, so basically the difference is – other schools are drawing in, well, more students, I guess. Is that what you're saying? But also,
more students
just
and more young
alums. More, yeah. Okay. I mean, Vanderbilt has way fewer alums anyway, right? So that's already a different situation.
Also, way smaller venues.
But what they need is they need the casual fan to want to come to the games, right?
Certainly. Football, yeah.
And that's I think, a worthwhile pursuit.
I would go to Vandy basketball games if they were. Some, if they were more competitive. I haven't been in years.
And I mean, I love Memorial Gym. Some
do
people
too.
Don't, but
I love it.
I think it's fantastic. All right, Lamar Jackson. Ron asks, Lamar just signed a new contract. Do you think his contract, I'm struggling to read this, was paid?
Yeah, you shouldn't choose to read it until you know it's readable.
That's a fair point. Basically, was he paid? Was the contract too big? Was it a good contract? Are they in trouble? I don't think the Ravens
are going to win MVP.
Yeah, the Ravens are going to move forward with him, and it's kind of like we had the Rick Barnes conversation earlier. I still think if you keep knocking on the door, at some point you're going to bust through. But look, the Lamar haters today can absolutely dance around and say what they want, and I've been a believer in him as a good NFL quarterback since he was in college when all these people were like, that guy is never going to be an NFL
quarterback.
That's
not much of an endorsement. You believe in him as a good NFL quarterback.
Right,
NFL quarterbacks.
No, I know. What I'm saying is
he needs to be terrific.
Some of these people are the same people from then who were like, watch him at Louisville, like, move him to receiver. No, shut up. He's a good quarterback. Is he a great quarterback? Well, I mean, two MVP awards would suggest that, but he's not a great quarterback in the postseason. I can't argue against that. I mean, until he does it, then it's fair. I think the Chiefs did a great job. I think he missed a lot of plays, but also I think that his offensive coordinator yesterday didn't help him. You pointed it out. I mean, I think they got away from their game plan, or they had a terrible game plan, one or the other. But still, I can't argue. And I've had these blue-in-the-face arguments with people about Lamar Jackson saying that at some point he's going to win a Super Bowl and you know, you're all going to be quiet. Yesterday was not a good day for people arguing my side of it.
Well, if at some point he wins a Super Bowl, that doesn't change his playoff performance through 2023.
No, but it changes the story dramatically,
yeah,
though.
But he was obviously 20 for 37. First off, he shouldn't be throwing 37 times. And 20 for 37 is poor in that game. He did not play well. And if people want to talk about him like he's you know, close to Mahomes, he's not close to Mahomes. He's not in the same breath as Mahomes. I'm not a fan, and I think if you force him to throw 37 times, he's probably not going to win you a football game. He seemed hesitant to run when he's at his best. He's comfortable running. And so I don't understand where the switch is there. If you're a running quarterback, and most quarterbacks now thrive on their mobility. Brock Purdy, for the love of man, was a comfortable
those
runner
games were
yesterday
as big. Those
with
huge
plays
were
success.
Huge.
Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, these guys don't hesitate, and they come up with big runs at big moments, and Lamar Jackson failed to do that in his biggest moment yesterday. He's got he's got as many playoff wins as he's got MVPs. There's something that's a disconnect in the playoffs, and that's a problem, and people are going to make it out like there's more to it than that when you say he's not getting it done in the playoffs, and things around him didn't go well. But guess what? When things around Patrick Mahomes don't go well, he makes it work. When things around Josh Allen don't go well, he seems to make it work, even though his team loses. Don't you feel better about Josh Allen right now than you feel about Lamar? I do.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I heard on Sportsman like earlier, they were talking about how this turned into a huge apparently it's just what this constant argument of Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson, I guess. Who would I rather have? It's close. It is close because I think you can just do some things with Lamar Jackson that like you can't do with anybody else. In both cases, though, it's close. So I don't have a problem either answer. It's not lopsided for Josh Allen. And the thing is, they both just can't beat Patrick Mahomes, and that's the problem for all these guys, right? I know Burrow got him once, and we'll see if does it again. He got him once. And Brady got him in the Super Bowl when Mahomes had no offensive line against a fantastic front seven, and it was domination. But I think Patrick Mahomes makes it so that we have a bunch of arguments about all the other quarterbacks in the league who aren't as good as Patrick Mahomes.
Stack those three, though.
It's his fault.
You threw Burrow into it. Stack those three. Burrow, Allen, Jackson.
I'd go Burrow. I'd go Burrow, Jackson, Allen. And again,
Allen Jackson.
I'm not a hater of Josh Allen. I like him. I think he's a great player. But look, for as inefficient, and I know that last pick was bad, as Lamar Jackson was yesterday, Josh Allen throws so many bad picks still, and has, especially since Brian Daboll left them. And I know that this year they surged late in the season, got in, he was playing better. Last 2 years have been kind of rough in that regard for him. So, yeah. But look, it's close.
I think they're kind of trade-off picks, though, and they're largely deep.
So arm punting?
Yeah, arm punting.
Yeah, a little bit of arm punting. But again, to me, the story still is – I mean, of course, the Lamar Jackson story is always going to – like it's just, you know, all these quarterbacks, it's you can't get it done. What does it mean? You know, Josh Allen, Dak, whoever. But the story is that Patrick Mahomes is he is on his way to goatdom.
If you're a Lamar Jackson defender, here's what you say now. Had a bad game. And he's had bad games in the playoffs. He's not figured out the playoffs yet. But for yesterday, you say he and everybody around him had a bad game, which is what you should have said when the Titans lost to the Ravens in the playoffs in Nashville that year. Their entire offense had a bad game.
Arthur that wasn't Smith strictly had a bad game.
Arthur Smith had a bad game. Henry had a bad game. Tannehill had a bad game. Titans offense was just, which wasn't a great offense that year, had a
their
bad
Their D
game.
Played well. Their O played poorly. That was the opposite of the entire season.
That's right. But I don't think if you're defending Lamar Jackson now and you go too far with it, that makes me feel like you feel like you've really got something to defend. If you go much further than had a bad game, didn't have a good feel for it, couldn't figure it out, had a bad game. If you go into a huge, huge thesis here, if you're giving me a thesis presentation, a dissertation, then I feel like you really feel like you've got something to defend that I'm not so sure you believe in.
I mean, to me, it's just simple. I mean, it's just I still think he's great, but he's not great in the playoffs. And so that's either that changes or you know, well, what matters more, right? I agree. He had a bad game. It wasn't just him, but that's the MVP. And like he's got it. And I think running at times when he didn't yesterday, the best play of the
that
game
concerns
was
me the most. When
the,
you see
the TD
how
to Zay Flowers was incredible, right?
Yeah.
And he hung in and but sometimes you just have to go get 8 yards.
And that concerns me the most that the running didn't come naturally to him when I'm watching Brock Purdy run beautifully.
Yeah. All right. We come back into the Tennessee Titans, some staff movement, what's to come this week with PK Paul Kuharski Robbie and Rex are 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Sounds like you're sneezing.
Robbie and Rex are proudly sponsored by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex are 1025, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. So we're back into the Titans, PK. Staff movement, staff firings, staff interviews. We know what has happened. What is happening this week?
Tim Kelly's out. John Stryker, Stretch, is out. I reported those two. Charles London, per Jonathan Jones of CBS, is out, which I confirmed.
Which I'm a little surprised by. I thought maybe he had a shot to hang with the staff.
I did too, but I don't think it's a giant deal. Others have been told that they're out. I'm having trouble getting that. As you can imagine, people aren't anxious for that to be out. Frank Perano, strength and conditioning coach, is not out yet.
That'd be a big upset if he's not eventually out.
I would agree. So some of those coaches are meeting with Callahan this week, so he gets to know them and you know, has a feel for who he would be letting go or considering for his staff. So I think we'll find out more about who's out or who maybe has a chance to stay in this week. And I think we'll find out much more about candidates this week. Look, Titans started, made these calls on Friday, like a Friday news dump. And then we're really diving into stuff on Saturday. So you start to ask permission maybe on Saturday and today. You know, teams that aren't working are back to business or paperwork stuff on Monday, work day. So, and that stuff's not going to come out from this side. If a team's being asked for permission for a guy to interview, it's going to come out from that side.
Right.
And so I think we'll start to hear drips and drabs about those permission requests being granted from the teams that are granting them today and this week.
So the Titans, as of now, Brian Callahan has interviewed one candidate for OC, and that is...
What? I don't know if he's interviewed him.
Requested. Sorry, that's Nick Holtz. That is passing game coordinator for the Jags. First of all, do you think sometimes the first one is significant, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes the first one means, okay, this is kind of who they're zeroing in on. Do you think this is going to be a robust interview process with OC candidates, or do you think he is the guy?
I would think the whole thing will be a robust process, but as you say, I don't know, you know, the first guy could be, you know, the guy that you really want. I could see that being the case, certainly with Denard Wilson of the Ravens, who's, you know, completely free to talk now. He's also wanted by the Rams and the Giants as defensive coordinator. He's been with Philly, the Jets, the Rams, and he scouted with the Bears. So the Rams know him from him having worked with the Rams. So, you know, is McVay a bigger draw to him than Brian Callahan might be? You know, Brian Callahan just got a 5-year contract. How long the contracts he's offering to new staffers is a question. I would guess 2-3
years. Usually 2, right?
Yeah.
You don't see 3 a ton.
But maybe McVay can offer him more security, or maybe he sees the potential for more security with McVay. Even if the contract isn't long, thinks I'll go and have more success with McVay. Don't know.
I can definitely see the argument of having more success. I think the Rams are kind of back on the upswing.
They're already in the playoffs.
You know, and obviously they had they were supposed to be bad last year. Had a heck of an offseason. They're a great example of have one great draft, and all of a sudden a lot of holes can be plugged, and you look like a different team than everybody expected. There is the McVay like talking constantly about retiring thing too, though. You know, and TV will take him the minute and give him a ton of money. I mean, does that give you pause a little bit if you're looking at them?
I don't know. I mean, there's so many factors that go into it, some of which we don't even know what they are. I will say for any guy who joins TV, there's talk of Belichick joining TV. There's even some rumblings about Vrabel joining TV, which I think they'd both be great. Belichick, we'd see a whole new side of it. But for every guy you add to TV, You have to take somebody off. You cannot have 15 guys on a studio show. And some of them suck. It's time to retire, well, Terry Bradshaw. Well, get him out. Get him out.
Look, it's early, but what does Gronk bring? Gronk does not bring anything.
Here's what Terry Bradshaw
Gronk
brings.
Gronk is a great guy, great Bradshaw? Player. He doesn't bring anything.
Here's Terry Bradshaw.
See,
That's what Terry Bradshaw brings.
The thing is, yeah, it's so – that used to be, remember when they sort of – and we're talking – we're going back to the 90s, but they had a run where it was kind of like they were – and they were having fun, and it was Bradshaw, you know, and it was kind of like other shows were then trying to emulate that. But, yeah, that's long in the past.
It's all crap.
Another thing – this is – now we're totally off on a tangent, but, you know, this Brady contract and everything – I don't know what you think about Greg Olson. I think Greg Olson is the best analyst going right now.
Olson and Burkhart are better now, and I love Jim Nantz, and I hold him in high regard. But they're better than Nantz and Romo right now.
Yeah.
And to just boot him, I saw somebody suggest, like, make it a three-man booth at least for the first year and see how Brady eases in.
We'll see. Hopefully Brady will be great. But you know what he also might be? He might be Drew Brees. Who was like, oh, no, actually, no thanks. Yeah, like all these guys should start as like the sixth crew and then prove that you're like Jason Witten gets put on Monday Night Football. He wasn't ready for that.
Yeah,
he's a sixth crew guy. But yeah. All right,
but you can't. Put
I digress.
Brady in the sixth crew.
Yeah, Nick Holtz, the connection with Brian Callahan, as you have said, it goes back to high school in California. But he was offensive QC, quality control, when Callahan was there. Before that, he was assistant. He was there for a while. I mean, he was with the Raiders. Organization from 12 to 21, a one-year stint with UNLV as OC, and then he's back the NFL this last year as passing game coordinator. So it's only 1 year with Doug Peterson in Jacksonville. Obviously a disappointing
year overall.
He's with his dad for
a year in Nebraska way at the beginning. Which
offensive video intern, so going way back. So a long relationship. We talked about this earlier in the show. If you didn't hear, we had the buddies conversation. I don't care – I would prefer, and I think if I was in the same position, I would be hiring people I know are good because I've worked with them. So yeah,
that's where the trust starts.
Yeah. So, you know, the whole hiring your buddies, as long as you're not hiring buddies who aren't qualified just because they're your buddies, but you're hiring them because you believe they're good first, and then also you have trust, loyalty, relationships. That stuff matters. I mean, look, the Panthers tried to smash together all these different
All-star
you know,
cast.
Guys. Yeah, exactly. And it was a disaster, complete disaster. So I'd rather have a coach hire people he trusts and knows if it works out.
Yeah, I agree with that, generally speaking. It's just that the first offensive guy you hear about is he went to high school with makes me, I don't know, off the top of my head, I go, I sure do hope he's damn good if he's coming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any idea. You know, I mean, this is. I would hope that regardless, there are other candidates.
Yes.
Right. I mean, he's not like a knock your socks off. Oh, that's the only guy for this job. You know, and I think that's the thing too. It's just like, I mean, shoot, like when you talk about the Rooney Rule, what is the benefit? Even though teams abuse it and ignore it. You get people in front of people, and all of a sudden you can change your mind. That's the same idea of any job interview. Like, have a handful of people you talk to, and you might be blown away by someone that you just sort of decided to give an interview
to. And there is Rooney Rule for coordinator jobs. So he's got to talk to one out-of-house minority candidate for both offensive and defensive coordinator.
And Thomas Brown is a guy who I think should be a strong contender. As you said, he might go somewhere else, but to where he can call plays, but he should be a strong contender for this job.
Yeah.
To me.
But he might, you know, say no thanks.
Yeah. All right, we come back. We'll hit some more of this, but we do have Preds Pick to Click. Robbie Rexo, 102.5, 106.2 The Game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot of the score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. 615-737-1025 now. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit TJAndersonHomes.com to see why they are preferred so often. It's Pick to Click now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And here we go. Preds Pick to Click. Preds coming off a tough one to the Oilers on Saturday. Big one tonight on the road. Ottawa. They had Ottawa tonight? Gotta get the four-point road trip. That'd be a successful road trip. And we have Rick on the line with his Preds Pick Click. Rick, who have you got tonight?
Good morning. I want to pick Ryan O'Reilly.
Ryan O'Reilly. Okay. All right. Ryan O'Reilly. Very interesting. There you go. Ryan O'Reilly for Rick. And I honestly, Nick, you got to hold my hand on this one because I have no idea who's first.
Okay. Today. I will help us out here. I'll just kind of manhandle this one. So, Joe, you and the listeners are now tied with 12
yes.
correct answers so far, which is great. Myself, I'm at 7 correct picks so far this season. And Robbie stands at an immaculate number 3 on the entire year.
Yeah.
So let's what did Robbie pick? Do you have that up for
is
us?
Is he
Joe?
First?
Well, I'm going to go by what he kind of was alluding to,
yeah,
but I'd be more than
just,
happy
you
to
take over. You take over.
So first up, we should have the caller, and we did the caller. Joe, you are the first up this time.
Oh,
around.
I'll take Forsberg. Thank you.
Oh,
thank
okay,
you, caller.
You
thank you, Rick. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Okay.
And who's next?
I am next, and I will take Roman Josi this week.
Okay.
There you go.
And Robbie went with?
And Robbie prefers to go with, I don't know if he really made his pick. Let me see. So he has the standings and he has the order. So I guess Paul can make the pick for
it. All
right,
this is it. It's on you, PK. You are picking for Robbie. By the way, this contest presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ. Get your home seen, heard, and sold. Rick gets 2 tickets if he's right. Robbie's way behind, so
I
you don't.
Robbie
not,
texted you.
There's
something.
Not a ton of. He did, apparently didn't text a pick. There's not a ton of
he
pressure.
Didn't text
Robbie
a pick.
Is in last place by a mile, but you still get to pick. So
right,
I'm
going to hook him up completely. This should get 5 bonus points if this comes true.
Okay,
Sorrels.
What?
Paul, so PK,
Paul, are you serious?
PK.
Yeah.
You're serious.
Yeah, he's going to score one tonight.
I mean, Pecorine does have a goal in his career.
Oh, my God.
Tonight's tonight, baby.
Well, hey, look, you know what, Robbie? Robbie lost out by not sending a pick, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Wow. So
all right.
Robbie went about 3 weeks, or no, not even 3 weeks. What did he go, like almost 2 months without getting one right, Joe? I think
something
like
that.
That.
Yeah.
So, wow, the streak will live on.
I mean, honestly, like, you know, giving him Soros, it doesn't take down the probability a ton that he's going to be.
You know what, though?
Take Novak.
Anyway, you know what, though? I think if Paul is actually
take
right.
Novak.
Novak.
Do you really want to take Novak? Are you going to change it?
It's more likely.
All him. Right. Yeah, let's change. That's not fair to
I'll
Robbie.
Put it on Novak. Then.
We'll put,
okay.
All right, so who have we got? We've got O'Reilly, Forsberg.
O'Reilly, Forsberg, Josi, and Novak.
You went Josi and Novak.
Yep.
All right, so there you go. Okay.
I got
good,
a double.
Good amendment,
double
PK. Good amendment. All right, before we wrap up here, what do we need to get to? We do have a lot of text. I apologize the text line today. I've not been great. I do want to point out, Gover has pointed out, you know, it reminds him of Ovechkin a little bit with Lamar Jackson until he finally won it. Point brought up to me, PK, he will be everyone who has won an MVP twice has won a Super Bowl. So would you right now today bet that before Lamar Jackson is done with his career, he will have a Super Bowl ring?
No, I won't.
Okay. I will. I'm going to stick with Lamar. I think he will get it done. But this was a tough one. This was a tough one.
Here's my question. How badly will Burrow, Mahomes, and Allen be hurt simultaneously?
Yeah.
To open the door for Lamar.
No. Yeah, you know, it's true. But it's also like, I mean, think about, it's funny with the Ravens, right? Like they have titles. And there were great quarterbacks in the league when they won titles, right?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, it happens. And here's what they need to do this offseason. You know
they won
they
them
do?
Defensively, though, and the league has changed.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? I still think that as much as the league has changed, it is more this than that. It's not all this, none that. And it never will be. And so I think you're going to have the random champion here or there that gets it done different ways. I'm going to tell you right now, the offseason plan for the Ravens, Derrick Henry. With that offense, with Lamar.
So they can hand it to him 6 times?
Hey, think about the space he'll have with everything they do and the way it works for them. I think it would be a beautiful marriage. But we, tomorrow, are going to get into the philosophical shift of the Tennessee
Titans. Is this the biggest philosophical change we've seen in their Tennessee history?
So that'll be tomorrow on the program. Coming up, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5.
Don't block the box. Lock your locks.